Well, it's this fallen world that we live in that we see such tragedy here in my area. Just a couple of miles away from my home, Uniontown police officer has been killed this morning. Car accident. In a fallen world, yes, all these kind of things occur. This is a considered accident. Now, on the roads and in life, there are things that are done on purpose. Inside of our hearts, all of ours, there is that lurking. There's that failure. There's that, well, something inside. We lie, we steal, we cheat, we betray, we abuse. Someone sent me a picture or a connection to the pictures of those who had been slaughtered in Acapulco. I mean, here's close to a resort area. There's some individuals that have been found, not only their hearts taken out, but cut up and destroyed. Was this the Mexican drug cartels? Yes. Was it possibly Santa Muerte or sacrifice to the demon gods to empower the drug trade that opens the door to the drug demons that further darkens the heart of man and brings darkness into our atmosphere? Is it that? Well, no doubt that it is. Why do we lie? Why do we cheat? Why do we steal? Why do we betray? And let me ask you a question. Why is the rise of Babylon, as described in Scripture, the pinnacle of dark presence in lives, in families, in cities, in nations, in the air, influencing and captivating the rulers of the world, listen, and of the peoples and the nations? And, well, nobody's going to be left out when it comes to the rise of Babylon. And because of what is inside the heart, the construct of humanity. You're listening right now, and either you're a believer in Christ, growing strong, one that is trying, or you don't even know God. And all of us had or still have the operative, listen, the POI, the power of insurrection. This is how I wrote it out for the Tuesday night show. This is the operative force injected into the human race because we opened the door and joined the insurrection. The sin nature, that active dark force inherent in fallen humanity, is a wide open door to the supernatural energy or operative presence that the active fallen cherub and his domain has access to. Welcome to Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. This is February the 15th, a Tuesday night. It is 4 minutes after 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have about 55 more minutes for a supernatural interaction. Oh, it's been prayed over, and I don't have any doubt, fought against. There is a spiritual war going on, you know. And you and I are in the midst of it. You are here. Well, let God define the reasons why. And may God embrace you, interact with you. And if you're lost, save you. Well, may the Lord Jesus, and in his name, save, heal, and deliver. May the Spirit of God be operative. There is no greater power, no greater person, to lead us to the face of God, to the power of God, to the answer for the issue of this indwelling, inherent, well, the power of insurrection. Now, some have called it simply the flesh. That's the way many translations of the Bible refer to it in Romans chapter 8. You are either in the flesh or you are in Christ, in the Spirit. One or the other, it's all about what's inside you and what is operative. Hey, by the way, for those new listening, this is Russ Dizdar. Once again, the website, shatterthedarkness.net. On the web, hundreds and hundreds of MP3s, courses, materials. And yes, to all those believers eager for the Book of Acts training course. We'll have another one up tonight. And it looks like this week, the way we're clearing the schedule, 3 per week will be added to that ongoing training. And we have other things we're doing. So we kind of got, well, you know how it is in life. You plan all kinds of things, but then things come in. We had a pre-funeral family-wide dinner last Sunday, and it lasted most of the day, really. It was really an involvement, but we have, in the extended family on my wife's side, two individuals, both with kind of cancers, and they've been given a month to 6 months, and it's literally being told the death sentence is there. Now, I tell you what, sitting across from one of those individuals, and I plan on going to visit him personally, it was, you can see, listen, all I can tell you, you can see death. And the contemplation that the dinner Sunday afternoon was a farewell dinner. It was really kind of sad, though it was considered a family celebration, get-together, probably about 100 people there. No one really even mentioned the fact that two men in that room were dying. They passed a ball cap around to put some dollars in to give to the family. Well, with our prayers, and let me say, our witness in Christ means a lot. I've been at the bedside of those who had died right there as I looked at them. Where the spirit leaves the body and the eyes go cold and they are gone. It has everything to do with the sin code, everything to do with the fallen nature, everything to do with the code of death, the code of insurrection. We're going to jump into this tonight. Listen, we're in the series, Babylon is Rising. It's the theme for February 14th to the 18th. It has everything to do with the rise and the fall of the final Reich, the New World Order, as some people say, excuse me. And it is all about what is operative in the DNA or the genetics of man, and then all about who's involved in operating on that. Now, there's an operating presence from the outside. But there's also, now listen, there's also a supernatural, answer to the issue of what's going on in the heart of man. Now, we're going to get into that in a moment, but I want you to remember the story of, Genesis 3. Fallen cherub interacting with humanity. The exchange, the didache of daemonoi, the didache of the fallen cherub's communication with desiring choice, exchanging God, capital G, for God, small g, infinite God for finite God, good God for bad God. Yeah, Luciferian, Satanist, Brotherhooder, Black Flamer, that's what it's all about. And for those on the crest of the wave of the New Age, well, the mask that presence wears, though it's shining and glimmering and filled with promises of hope, as in the last 60 years of the New Age, it will lead no one to homo lumos, homo deity, no godhood there. That has been the promise of the ages. That was what was used in the beginning to cause the exchange. And instead of becoming godlike, the death code and the code of insurrection infected humanity. We were cut off. You experience it. I experience it. I sat across for the man dying. I mean, we're all dying, but this man had the sentence of death. And I could see it in his eyes. So if you got the notes also this week, and by the way, we're going to have notes like this for all of the live projects. Some of our older courses where we had lost some materials, unless we redo all the notes, we just simply don't. So the course, Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, we found most all of it and have re-put it up, but no notes. And some of the older courses, we found all of the Spiritual Warfare Basics course. That's going back up tonight or tomorrow. but the notes are not there, so just the MP3s. But everything new that we do will have the notes, including the live projects during the week. Let me ask those listening by satellite, those listening by internet, every once in a while, just send us an email. Tell us where you're listening from. We can see those who listen by the archives, and we're looking at probably about 90 countries of the world where downloads are occurring. So again, I'm going to say to those on Malta right now, in South Africa right now, in Oslo right now, in the Czech Republic, I have a young friend there, and all around the world, professors in Beijing and other cities in China. Now, you're listening, and I'm glad we're connected. I'm glad that you're letting me know that you're listening, and even Facebooking, sending me a note there just to say you're listening. We're a little bit behind on the emails again. We've tried to this year be more, well, at the cutting edge of getting to everybody. But again, we will do as many as we can on a daily basis, and that's what we can do. You know, if you're a believer in Christ, He is with you, and He is the source. He's the one that brings the power and the answer and the grace and the all the work that you need in your life. Tonight, as we move into this, we can talk about the entire global issue, but now we're going to deal with what's inside of humanity and why it is in the end of humanity so many billions are absolutely deceived, sucked into, seduced, and embracing Luciferic doctrine, Luciferic agenda, the Luciferic promise of the age leading all the way to Armageddon. Why that occurs? Well, it's because of that inherent, you can call it a disease that has come from the fallen cherub. Literally, what is in him has been planted in fallen humanity at a concurrent moment when choice, a fatal choice, was made. In the garden, if you remember, there was clearly an exchange. That's Genesis 3. Genesis 4, let's listen to these words. So Cain, one of the children, Adam and Eve, the sin nature's inside. So he's fallen. He doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling within. This is not what was meant to be, but it is. Because of the doorway you and I, as humanity, has opened up. Here's the word. So Cain was very angry. Stop for a minute and think about Ephesians 4. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger, and give the devil a foothold, a doorway. All the way back thousands of years ago, Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Oh, depression, guilt, all that's in there. Anger is the issue. Inside of Cain is a door. Inside of Cain is an operative force. Maybe he didn't have it defined, but it's there. Maybe you haven't had it defined, but it's there. Maybe you don't know the reasons why you've done the things you do, but it's there. You hate the guilt, so we suppress things, we drink, we run, we blame shift, we run to psychology and see if we can get some kind of explanation, we run to the transhumanists to get a hope that somehow we can fix this genetic flaw. Where did it come from, transhumanist? Where did the genetic flaw come from? Spontaneous creation, spit out genetically defected humans. And it's up to the scientists, the transhumanists, to come up with a solution to the genetic defect in man. And so somehow by transhumanist superior science, we can splice in, fix the evil gene, and turn humankind into good people. That's the transhumanist ultimate hope, let alone the fact that, they're trying to beat death. They don't understand that the death code and the insurrection code are inseparable, operative. Some of us have given far more of our lives to it than others. Many of you listening right now have had that death code and that insurrection code broken, and an exchange has occurred, and there is a new power, and it's dwelling within. And all of that new power includes that it is a deposit guaranteeing, not an evolution from some unknown source to Homo Lumos, but an instantaneous glorification, indestructible immortality. And being grabbed by God and hugged, that's what a face-to-face meeting is going to be, with the glorified eyes seeing God as your God, your friend, the one that loved you. Let me go back to Genesis 4. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Might be some angry people listening. Maybe people hurt you. Maybe people lied to you. Maybe people betrayed you. Maybe things have gone on, and deep inside is an anger, and many times it explodes. Your face is downcast. What's the answer? Well, I'm going to tell you, transhumanists don't have it. You know, the liberation theologians don't have it. It's not economics. It's not education. It's not New Age evolving or denial. And it surely isn't Luciferic embrace. You want to hear what God says to Cain? Verse 6, Genesis 4. The Lord God, listen, the Lord said to Cain, why are you? You ever have God question you? God says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Have you ever had God question you? Maybe during this live broadcast. Maybe because the Spirit of God is operative wherever you are in the world. Maybe it's a Chinese soldier or a government official in Beijing listening. Maybe it's an old Psy warrior in Russia, Moscow. Could be there on the isle, well, Hawaii, listening. And God says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Now I want you to hear what God says. Original creation, we are just walking majestically in what we were created to be. Now it's different. Verse 7, God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But now listen, God says, but if you do not do what is right, sin, listen now, this operative, this insurrection code, that's how I'm going to term it. I'm going to define this sarx, Romans 8, sarx, that's the Greek word, sin nature, sin force, sin code. I'm going to define it as the code of insurrection and failure. Let me define it again, the code of insurrection and failure. Let me read that now as I read this verse 6. The code of insurrection and failure is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. When we go to Romans chapter 8, we're going to take a look at the issue of the sin code. Operative, deep within. And let me say to the believer listening right now, you are either in one or the other. You can't be in both. It is not that the sin nature, the code of insurrection and failure, it has, I'm going to give you three of the main activities of that code of insurrection and failure, the sin code. Three of the main activities. And it's guaranteed that in every one of us alive, listening, every human being since the fall, that code of insurrection and failure, that sin code, that has had a living, like a virus is to the physical, this is to the entire being. It is in every ounce of our being. It animates DNA, genetics, everything. It's there. It's affected the physical. It's affected the mental. It's affected the emotional. It's affected everything. The sin code is inseparable from the death code. Now, we're going to focus on the sin code. Again, code of insurrection and failure. Romans chapter 8. Let me just begin with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's, again, a vital issue for confidence in the believer's life. But here's what it goes on to say. Because through Christ Jesus, through the instrumentality of Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life. Now hear me, the law of the Spirit of life. This is the operative law that comes from the work of Christ on the cross. The law of the Spirit who gives life, the life of Christ, the life of His victory, the life of His... Listen, this is the law of the Spirit of life. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. See the connection? Romans 8, verse 2. You're either living in one of the, two of those camps. Regardless of what you say you believe, regardless of what you are embracing, we're dealing now with definitive communication from God. Because through Christ Jesus. Now there's two things, law of the Spirit of life, or the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life is what is given in Christ when Christ comes in. It is what He's brought about at the cross. It's because of His righteous life, His sinless life, His sin-bearing at the cross, because of who He is. What He did at the cross, death, resurrection, blasting apart death, sin, Satan, hell, all of it. Opening wide the door to new life. Everyone outside of this gift of God still has and is in the operating, controlling law of sin and death. That is the code of insurrection and failure, inseparable from death. And that's why it's put together here in verse 2. It is the law of sin and death, operative in every human being. Transhumanists are trying to bite at it. New Agers are receiving counterfeit spiritual revelation to try to give a promise out of it, as in the beginning. But it only leads to destruction, only preoccupies. It's a lie. And no New Ager anywhere in the world in the last 60 years has gotten free from the law of sin and death. The code of insurrection and failure. Now I want you to go down to verse 5. If you're looking at Romans, tremendous study. Those who live according to the flesh. And now in the Greek, it has the idea of those who live in the realm of, in the controlling power of the sarx. Those who live according to the code of insurrection and failure have their minds set on what the code of insurrection and failure desires. That presence that animates every ounce of us, body, soul, and spirit, genetics and DNA, there is an operative... I'm going to give you three activities, the three main activities. But I want you to understand that it is almost like a living force. It is an operative force. It seeks to progress. It seeks to like a cancer, eat up everything, like rust on metal, to eventually eat up everything. This sin code, this flesh, this sarx, this code of insurrection and failure involves infection in the mind. It involves the desires. Why do people desire to lie, steal, cheat, betray? Why do people desire to deceive, seduce, and rape? And why? Because there's something at the core of our hearts, and here's the explanation. Now, you're going to know this, the contrast in verse 5. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what that, listen, on what the Spirit desires. Now, we're talking about God the Holy Spirit, applying at the moment of salvation the totality of the work of Christ. Total forgiveness, total empowerment, and an operative force, and you're either living by one or the other. Now, for the confused believer, don't think you have both operating simultaneously and with equal power. That is wrong theology. It's wrong biblically and wrong experientially. You either have the law of sin and death, the code of insurrection and failure operative within you, or you have, as an operative law, or you have the law of the Spirit of life through Christ Jesus. The moment anyone comes to Christ, the Spirit of God comes into you. Your spirit is instantaneously made alive to God, and a power, a nature, a law of the Spirit of life, an operative power is placed inside of you. Oh, on your notes, I'm going to give you the five things that salvation, how it breaks the sin code platform and brings empowerment. It involves forgiveness and freedom and the planting of a new power. It involves the breaking of Satan's rights and the operative living presence of God in his rights. The key to all of this right now is Romans 8:5. Those who live according to, in the controlling realm of the sarx, the sin nature, the code of insurrection and failure, they have their mindset on it and what that nature desires. But those who live that are born of the Spirit of God in Christ, they're living under the control of and in the power of the Spirit of life that is in them. They have their minds set on what the Spirit of God desires. Inside of you, one law is in force and operative, or the other one is. There is no in between. Now, the believer could be confused and not understand that he's been set free. We're going to deal with that in a few moments. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't die on the cross only to forgive our sin, only to wash us from the things that bring us the destruction and the guilt and all the rest and leave us under the power. It was more than just the issue of forgiveness. It was what was in the nature, what was in our genes, what is in our being that had to be dealt with. At the moment of the fall, that concurrent moment, this fallen insurrection, this code entered in. And it is the platform and it is the operative law in every human being who has not yet gotten a hold of the gift of God that God desires for every one of you. Wherever you are in the world and whatever your background is, God desires to give you his love, his forgiveness, and that involves the totality of his power here and now that guarantees what is to come. And there is nothing higher. Here are the three main activities of the sin code. Now you can see it there in Romans chapter 8. It's the great study. It goes on to verse 6 saying the mind, the disposition governed by that code of insurrection and failure is death. But the mind or the life governed by, well, the Spirit of Christ is life and peace. Now here's verse 7. Here's the three main issues. The mind or the disposition of an individual that is controlled by and governed by the sarx, the flesh, not physical flesh. That Greek word has nothing to do right here with the physical flesh that you touch. It is in reference to the code of sin. It is in reference to the code of insurrection and failure. Sin always leads to failure. Sin always brings about deeper and broader failure. It really does. So when you read verse 7, look at the three things. Number one, hostility towards God. Number two, well, the unwillingness. I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to walk with God. I don't want God in my life. The aversion to God. It's inherent in fallen humanity. And then number three, inability to be able to love God, embrace God, and do the right, the law of God. See, the law of God in the Old Testament, it's good, it's spiritual. Don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't worship the demon gods. When you come down to the law of God, it is clearly spiritual, it is supreme. It is the instruction of God. It is inherent in man, Romans 2. It is inside of us. It is in our conscience. Our conscience bears witness with guilt. When we sin, when we lie, when we cheat, when we steal, when we harm others, that's why there's guilt and there's that we have a conscience. But the deeper we give into this sin code, this code of insurrection, the deeper the sin, the darker it goes, the harder it is, to the point that the conscience can be seared, not even care, and slaughter. But here's the three activities of this code of insurrection. The code of insurrection, dwelling in, animating in all of humanity, fallen humanity, drives all of us in hostility towards God. Drives all of us in, I don't want to submit. And drives all who still have this operating force in them with an inability. Maybe in the past you wanted to. There's times in the past in my life I wanted to do right. There's times that I gave up drugs. I gave up doing things. I gave up doing stuff. There's times that stuff came out of my mouth that I tried to control. Like God said to Cain, in the beginning, you got to master it. It is an operative force that desires to have you. It desires to take you all the way down. It is a presence that knows what it is. Kind of like beginning to get the flu when you know you got it and it's infected your body and begins to take you down all day long until every bone in your body hurts, until you feel like you've been run over by a truck, until you're sick. The sin nature inside fallen humanity desires to go all the way. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 down gives that panoramic view. It wants an individual to go all the way, to go as far as that code will take it. And it's all in hostility to God, in opposition to God, and with complete inability to do and to love and to walk with God. That's the code of insurrection. That's what is operative in humanity. You look at it on a national basis. You look at the news worldwide. You look at the nations. You look at the liars. You look at the cheaters. You look at the abusers. You look at the desecrators of life. Look inside. I've never met a person in all of my life that wasn't a... Listen, and sinners don't like to hear the word sinner. It means, the Greek word harmatia, missing the mark. There's other words, specifically other words in the Hebrew that refer to this issue as a hostility, a willed violent choice. That clearly includes the word harmatia. For all have sinned, harmatia, we have missed the mark and fallen from the glory of God. And what is the fix? Is it the genetic fix that the transhumanists are biting at the bit to get to? Will they come up with something that will fit? They don't even understand why there is genetic, well, you can call it failure or some presence, a hostility to God? Well, the transhumanists are evidencing it. A lot of the scientists, oh, we don't need God to create the universe. The universe spontaneously created itself, and somehow, by some hope, by some way, there is a spontaneous spiritual evolution coming to humanity, and that spiritual evolution coming to humanity, even though we don't know where it's coming from, will bring about a change in the genetics of man. There is a spiritual evolution to humanity coming. The alienologists are getting it from the abductees. The 2012ers are getting it from the old prophecies. The New Agers are getting it from the spirit guides. There's an evolution of humanity, and it's going to be a burst and a operative change. And you know what it is? An absolute counterfeit to what God gives in Christ. Every counterfeit, though it promises much, does not have the power to perform. Finite cherub, has he ever led anyone to infinite godhood? Have you ever met anyone in the mystery religions that became God? Rosicrucian, Mason, Gnostic, New Ager, Hindu guru? Not even one. The physics of the fallen finite cherub trying to become the infinite himself, well, he's infinitely unable to do so, and infinitely unable to lead anyone to become God. The promise for the fix? Psychology can't. Education can't. Law enforcement holds the sin nature at bay at times. Why do you think we have jail cells? Why do you think there are those that are in a jail cell? They don't want to let them out. Because the sin code, the code of insurrection and failure, has taken such a deep hold, such a consistent hold, that hostility to all that God is, the absolute unwillingness to submit to all that God says, love people, be kind to people, don't harm people, don't lie to people, don't cheat on people, don't betray people, don't worship demon gods, they don't want to do. And the fact is, the deeper you give your life to the sin nature, the sin code, the more clearly unable, the deeper, and see, it goes on beyond even this. Listen, if we define out of God's revelation what the Spirit of God says about the fallen condition of humanity, why we do evil and why we die is rooted in the occurrence in the beginning. We've been infected. Sin code, death code. Death code is an operative presence within that leads the physical body to death. Physically, you will die. And if you physically die and have the sin code, the code of insurrection operative in you when you die, you are lost forever. Maybe tonight, because of the intervention of the Spirit of God, God would call you out. God would reveal to you where you are, what's inside of you, all the things you've done to try to help. You can't put makeup on it and cover over. Clothing doesn't do it. All of your New Age rocks and symbols and music and meditation can't change it. You're going to die, and if that operative force, hostility to God, won't submit to God, and unable, you'll lose everything. Not what God wants. And it's clear that some, check out 2 Thessalonians 2, they refused to love the truth and so be saved. You know what salvation is? I'm going to give you 5 points of salvation tonight. I want every New Ager, and I want every psychic, and I want every remote viewer to listen to God's answer to the problem of darkness in our genetics and in our DNA, to the problem of death, to the problem of evil, what God has done at the cross. At the cross, where Christ crushed evil, he exposed it, and so many that have not got the answer have grabbed either the counterfeit or something so inadequate that they're sick of hoping for change because the drug, the alcohol, the philosophy of life doesn't change the core nature of fallen humanity. God knows the issue. And let me tell you what, it's a power, it's a new law, an operating law. It deals with how to break the hostility to God, how to break the I don't want to follow God, and the inability. It breaks all of that. And so much more. Won't you listen for a few moments concerning the five? It's on the notes. How does salvation break this platform and bring empowerment? Listen, New Ager and 2012er and so many of us where you're sitting right now listening, salvation is the greatest word you can possibly consider right now. Salvation, as God brings the definition, as God brings and brings the provision, it involves God coming here. It involves God in Christ. It involves a sinless Savior at the cross. His genetics were pure. His blood was pure. He's never fallen. And he's at the cross becoming a sin bearer. Yours. To bear the price for the sin code, the death code. To bear the price and then bring provision of a power that can destroy what I'm talking about, and bring an incredible new life, new power, new operative presence deep within you that guarantees what is to come in the glorification. And would to God every New Ager understand what glorification is as opposed to the lie of an evolutionary development. Would to God that every one that embraces reincarnation grasp the concept of salvation and understand what glorification brings. Let me stop for a moment, though, to say in the middle of the notes is a little phrase, how is fallen man a platform for the dark spiritual presence? We have a dark operative force injected. It's in us as fallen humanity. It means that we're separate from God, fallen from God, that evil lurks, and that we have sinned, we have done wrong, and can do a lot of wrong. And a lot of humanity has. Anybody following the sin code to the nth degree will embrace face-to-face the cherub himself. That's where it began. The sin code began, Ezekiel 28, until wickedness, a violent willed choice against God, hostility to God, no desire to do what God wills, to be what God has made you to be, and then at that moment, the inability. For the moment, the once anointed cherub that was perfect, that walked among the fiery stones of God. The moment the willed, violent, hostile choice was made, transmutation, eternal inability, eternal I hate God, eternal lust to become God is what that nature is all about. And you can see that inside of fallen humanity. There are people that want to be God. They want to rule it all. They want to be autonomous. I don't need God. Tell me that in the end when you're dying, when your physical body is rotting and becoming liquid and then dust, where are you then? Haven't you heard the word of God? It is appointed, destined unto man once to die after that of judgment. How you lived your life, your sin. If you die with your sin on your head, lost forever and no second choice. Operative, though, inside that hostility to God, that I don't want to do God's will, and the inability, I can't, includes something else. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Has everything to do with the rise of Babylon and the reasons why. Why does the Antichrist get such rule and reign? Why is the false prophet able to deceive so many? Billions. Why does the spiritual power and adulterous corruption of Babylon infect to the core so many and open the door to the demonic realm so wide? Why? Ephesians 2. See, God doesn't operate on the platform of the sin nature. He doesn't use the sin nature. He doesn't reform the sin nature. He doesn't just make the sin nature better. He has to destroy it. He has to break it and implant a new nature that comes from God. You can desire a genetic fix someday, somewhere, somehow. They don't even know what the cause is. How are they going to fix it? You can embrace some kind of quasi, I don't know where it comes from, spiritual evolution to human transformation that has never occurred, has been promised for thousands of years, and ultimately will not occur. The spiritual evolutionary burst that's to come will only crystallize the power of this sin nature and this luciferic presence's work in people's lives. It's incremental. You believe a lie and believe another and another and another and another and another. You're going deeper and deeper into the trenches. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that there is a prince, a living entity, a presence that controls what some have called the Akashic Records, that collective, that field out there. There is a prince of the power of the air, os, there's a prince of the domain of the air. He's called, listen, in that same verse, the spirit who is now at work. Circle the word work, used in scripture, biblical scripture. It's even used of God. God is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now that's God who's supernaturally operative in the believer in Christ, whereas the fallen prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now supernaturally operative in the platform of fallen humanity, instigating deeper hostility, instigating deeper desire not to submit to God, instigating deeper on inability to even turn your face towards God. Inwardly, it's the code of insurrection and failure. It's drivenness. Outwardly, it becomes the platform. And let me tell you that it being the platform, undealt with, is the platform for the ramping up of the dark side, the rise of Babylon, and listen, all that we're talking about here. What we're talking about here. More and more outside influence, more and more outside counterfeit dark presence, more and more didache of demonoid, more and more outside operative supernatural work, deepening, broadening, hardening the hostility to God, the refusal to go and do God's will, and the complete inability. Humanism has never been able to do it. Atheism, though a angry denial of what is there, can't help anybody. Being agnostic, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, yet you have this sin nature inside. Fallenness, you're going to physically bite the dust someday. Is that God's will for you to be lost forever, or even to live in your sin and agony and in your dysfunction and in your evil and in your self-indulgence? Is that God's will? No. Is it God's will for you to live in lies and stealing and cheating and betraying and abusing? No. And if you've been lied to and stolen from and cheated and betrayed and abused, it's because of the fallen world. It's because humanity as a whole embraced the didakalos, the teaching, the communication. We dropped God. We spit at the feet of God, basically. And we embraced another. And instantly we're infected. Instantly infected. How's that going for you, humanity? Trail of tears and blood, sadness. We literally, with this sin code, though created to know God, created to bear the image of God, having the sense of the history of that within us, we go crazy. We go insane because sin is not what we were meant for. We fear death because we were not created for it, and Satan is inseparably connected to it. Check it out, Hebrews chapter 2. But there is a conqueror. Here are the five things that salvation does. Now listen, if you want spiritual depth, if you want spiritual certainty, if you want spiritual answer, if you want God, here's the answer. In Christ, what he did at the cross, why he died there. New Agers don't answer it. Wiccans don't answer it. Satanists hate it. Atheists can deny it. Screaming with red-faced anger, only living in their sin and perplexity. Salvation, number one, brings absolute and total instantaneous forgiveness. I mean, it's spelled out in the Old and spelled out in the New. Total forgiveness is given, complete forgiveness for the totality of your sin, washing. That's how the Bible describes salvation, that we've been washed. God in Christ, because of the sinless blood of Christ and his work at the cross to be the sin bearer, everything he ever done was bore by him. And he crushed sin, and he crushed its power, and he crushed all of its ultimate results. Christ did that. Jesus Christ did that. Let the demons hear it. Jesu Christu at the cross did that. How does salvation break that platform? Well, it brings absolute God-given washing forgiveness. Number two, it includes inseparably from that forgiveness, absolute freedom. The moment Christ comes in, Romans 6, the sin nature is rendered powerless. We have been set free. Sin is no longer your master. The code of insurrection has been broken. The code of insurrection that leads to death and eternal death has been broken the moment you received Christ. The law of the Spirit of life through Christ Jesus has permanently and forever, instantly set you free from the law of sin and death. You stand up and declare your forgiveness in Christ, praise God. Stand up and declare your freedom. That's why Romans 6 tells you, count yourself dead. Reckon yourself dead to sin, the sin code, the code of insurrection and failure. Count yourself dead to it and alive to God. Why? Because the chapter tells you, you are in Christ, you are set free. The core of your being now, the genetic, the DNA, the depth of the depth of your being, you've been set free. But it doesn't stop there. Number three, God has implanted a new power. There is the law, the operating presence of the living Christ, the new nature, the power of God, 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power has given us everything we need for this Christ-like life and devotion to God. Number 4, Satan's rights. Check it out, Colossians chapter 1. Number 4, Satan's ownership has been cut off. We've been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the bustle of the rule of God's Son. An exchange occurs at the moment of salvation, at the very moment of salvation. You're not under Satan's ownership and rights now as a believer in Christ. You're under the ownership and rights of God dwelling within you. Number 5, again, the emphasis here is not under Satan's ownership, but under God's ownership. The Spirit of God now dwells in you. Check it out, Ephesians chapter 1. The Spirit of God indwells you as a guarantee, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Glorification. The believer in Christ, here is the word of hope for today. I'm not going to miss this today. You know what it is? Here's the word of hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You want to hear it? The gift of God is His salvation. I'm telling you, listen, if you're listening right now, turn to the living Christ, receive Him right now. This is what God brings. This is God's answer. This is God's gift. You can't work it out. You can only receive by faith, accept Christ. He's knocking at the door of your heart. The Spirit of God is summoning you, wherever you are in the world, listening. Turn to the living Christ. And He will step into your life with the power of the Spirit of God and all of the effects of what he has brought about at the cross. Total forgiveness, freedom, an implantation of a new power for living. Satan's rights are broken. God's rights and ownership are now in place. And here's the word of hope for all of us. Here's what God in Christ, this is what salvation brings into you. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You ever read the next verse? Now all things, that's what it's referring to in verse 17, all this new things in Christ, forgiveness, freedom. Freedom from sin's control, Satan's rights, and now the new nature and God's presence and God's operative, well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's all new. We're at the end of the hour, and I pray God's blessing to you. Come to Christ if you don't know Him, believers. Rejoice in the Lord. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We need you to remember us in prayer, and we need you to bring us some support. Check it out on our website, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Thank you. Good night.